Live from CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. After much gridlock and compromise, Congress finally passed the Inflation Reduction Act, which now sits on President Biden's desk to be signed into law. The bill tackles a wide range of issues, including a historic investment of $369 billion to combat climate change, from transportation, manufacturing solar panels, and wind turbines, as well as tax credits for electric vehicles and homeowners who upgrade their houses to be more energy efficient. Joining us today about what this means for Californians is Laura Dehan, the state director for Environment California. The nonprofit has pushed for campaigns to ban single-use plastic bags, increase solar power, and get the state on track to 100% clean energy. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning, Vicky. Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks for being here. I mean, this is repeatedly been called the largest investment to combat climate change in U.S. history. What are the most tangible ways this will impact Californians?
I think the first big thing is that consumers here in California can benefit directly through the really big incentives for improvements to our own homes and our own lives to be able to transition to kind of clean energy homes, from the EV incentives, where anybody can, as long as you get the right type of car, you'll be able to qualify for a $7,500 rebate on a new electric vehicle. And there's also a $4,000 rebate on a used car. And there's similar incentives for rooftop solar panels and heat pumps, which you can also use to cool your home. And so improvements to your home to make it basically to help us transition to a clean energy economy in our homes.
So that's from, the perspective of a consumer or a person. But how may we actually feel this investment in ways that we may not necessarily notice on the surface, but in the long run will benefit our everyday lives?
Really, that's where some of the biggest changes are going to happen, and why we think of this bill as a game changer, is that there's big renewed incentives for both investment in clean energy at a large scale, as well as production of clean energy at a large scale all around the country. And California is really poised to take advantage of those incentives even better than other states. One of the things that's really big as well is that the all of these tax incentives were extended for a full decade, whereas in the past, they've only ever been extended for 1 to 2, maybe 5 years at the very most. And everything I've been hearing as we've been working toward this for the last year and a half has been that having a 10-year renewal of those incentives really allows for offshore wind developers or people who might produce wind turbines to be able to plan and really go big in terms of their plans. And so what that means, I think, for us is that we're going to see a lot more clean energy getting installed in our state. It's going to make all of our clean energy and our climate goals a lot easier to reach. And it's actually going to allow us to, I think, be even more ambitious about setting bigger, bolder goals.
There is the reality, though, that although this is a historic investment, the bill is a scaled back version. I mean, it received zero Republican votes in the Senate, negotiations with Democratic Senators Joe Manchin, Kristen Sinema, until really like the 11th hour. So the bill is a compromise. What do you wish it included?
Well, I think there was a lot of visionary ideas on the table. You know, we would have loved if the Congress had set a goal of getting to 100% renewable energy or clean energy, by 2035. I think that was the president's goal, when he was running for office, was to get the U.S. on track for that. There was talk about, wouldn't that be great to do that? Like we have here in California, set our sights on a 100% renewable energy future, officially, codify that. And then, as you said, there has not been the political support for that. And that just shows, I think, we've got a lot more work to do to build that support in other parts of the country beyond California. It's really too bad. I think, though, for the last year plus, really since the election, since it was clear that Senator Joe Manchin was the 50th Democratic vote, we've basically known it would be really difficult to get anything perfect, you know, passed. And so we really see this as a critical, important step, far better than not doing anything, for sure. And what it does is it positions states like California to be able to just go even farther, faster. And I think that through the leadership of states and cities, we can bring the whole country, you know, toward a clean energy future, even if we don't have that law in place, you know, that would have required it.
And climate change is just one piece of this bill. I mean, the bill is more than 700 pages long. It covers expansive issues from taxes to health care. But given that you're Environment California, you're a nonprofit that focuses on climate investments, you know, the devil is in the details. Where are you critical with the Inflation Reduction Act in terms of climate change?
One of the things that is a bit of a disappointment was the agreement that any new offshore wind developments would have to be, those leases would have to be tied to the same number of leases for fossil fuel development, like offshore oil. That was a mistake. That was not, I don't even know how that could be justified as good policy by any, you know, stretch of the imagination. And we're going to need to continue to fight any expanded, you know, fossil fuel development off of our coasts and, you know, on public lands in general, which I think has been, that fight has been made harder, you know, by that tie together. So obviously we support more clean energy development, but we're going to need to continue to oppose each and every, you know, offshore oil drilling proposal.
So yeah, what you're talking about is essentially the bill, which has provisions that would support expanded investment in domestic oil and gas production on federal lands. I mean, that sounds counterproductive when talking about a historic climate change investment.
Absolutely. It's the wrong way for us to be going, right? To expand any fossil fuel development. Right now, we should be investing taxpayer money in the solutions that the public overwhelmingly supports. There was just a new PPIC poll that came out in the last couple of weeks, and it showed that support for clean energy right now is very strong, especially here in California. More than 80% of the public really supports more offshore wind and wind energy in general, solar, you know, it's all really, really popular. And so those are the solutions that we should be investing in. And I think the California public really agrees.
When talking about wind farms, I was reading an article for Central Valley Public Radio in California, and there were concerns about the impact of offshore wind farms in terms of creating light pollution and the impact on dark oceans, ultimately marine life. Does this funding, I mean, does this come at the expense of marine life in the ocean?
Well, we are concerned about making sure that as we go big on offshore wind here in California, we're also making sure we do it in a way that really minimizes disruption on marine life and on habitats in the ocean. We work, Environment California does a lot of work on ocean protection actually as well. And we were the sponsors of the bill that kind of helped set California on track to have a big offshore wind goal. So we've been really involved in that. And we were celebrating the decision here in California last week to set the biggest goal of any state in the country. 25 gigawatts of offshore wind is the new goal by 2045. That's enough to meet about a quarter of our state's entire energy needs in 2045, when hopefully we'll be all electric, you know, in terms of how we move around and how we power and heat our homes. And so that is a lot of electricity, and it's definitely going to mean a lot of turbines. And these are really big, gigantic turbines, as tall as the Eiffel Tower or, you know, the centers of the Golden Gate Bridge. The idea is that they're going to be more than 20 miles offshore, between 20 and 30 miles offshore, really far out. And there are going to be, you know, we're anticipating there is going to be disruption, right? We're going to have to bring cables, you know, that transport that electricity onshore. We're going to need new transmission lines. That's going to be disruptive to some of our land. But continuing our dependence on burning fossil fuels to power our lives is just not working. We have to get to a clean energy future. And offshore wind is one of our best solutions. If you look at the map that the Department of Energy has put out of where do we have the best wind potential, off the Northern California coast is some of the windiest places. And the wind really picks up even at night when the sun sets. So it's a perfect complement to solar power, which is where we got a lot of our energy too.
Laura Dehan is the State Director for Environment California. Thank you so much for joining us and breaking down the climate initiatives from this bill.
Thank you, Vicky, for having me.
You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, CAP Radio. I'm Vicky Gonzalez.